Walks like an animal, talks like an animal, must be an animal. Come hear the animal, talking animal, talking animal. Must be an animal. Come hear the animals. Talking animals. Talking animals.
Good morning. This is Talking Animals. I'm Duncan Strauss. My guest today, making a return visit, is vegan black metal chef, the YouTube culinary sensation who offers instructional cooking videos specializing in vegan dishes, delivering the lessons over a soundtrack of black metal while wearing body armor and full Kiss-like makeup. Another trait that accounts for the millions of hits his videos generate online, and for having become something of a media darling, is a vegan black metal chef laces his lessons with humor, very much including, for example, his war cry of Hail Satan. Much has transpired since I chatted with him in 2011, so we'll get caught up with his new projects and a novel new campaign when I speak with vegan black metal chef in a few moments here on Talking Animals. Also later in the show, we'll speak with Robert Cheek, a vegan bodybuilder and author who's doing a lecture and book signing in Tampa this Sunday, tied to his new book, Shred It. Also 2 weeks from today, February 4th, WMNF's winter membership drive will have begun, and I'll be on the air that morning raising money for the station on Talking Animals. As usual, I'll have plenty cool exclusive Talking Animals thank you gifts for donations of various levels, including a pair of killer tickets to see The Who kick off their tour, The Who Hits 50, right here in Tampa, a pair of insanely good tickets to see Lewis Black at the Straz, and a package that includes a meet and greet with the fiery comedian and Daily Show fixture who recently appeared on Meet the Press. I know these tickets will be fantastic because I arranged them directly with Lewis himself. Also, copies of Catification by Jackson Galaxy and Kate Benjamin, a Talking Animals guest in October. Kate signed the books and threw in some House Panther toys. We also have a deeply discounted week stay in a Hawaiian condo on the island of Kauai and pocket monkeys. I'm not, as you might imagine, now trafficking in small primates. This is an ultra cool 12-in-1 tool, like a Swiss Army knife, but flat and small, like a credit card, fits right in your wallet, and is TSA approved. It might be the world's greatest gizmo. Details on all these exclusive thank you gifts can be found at talkinganimals.net, along with simple, fast ways you can donate. If you're a fan of Talking Animals and the work we do here each Wednesday morning, I hope you'll consider making an early donation. How about doing so today? Either through the Talking Animals tip jar, found on the Talking Animals page on WNF.org, or again, you can find all the info you need by visiting talkinganimals.net. Thanks for any support, especially early on, you can send my way. In addition, towards the end of the show, as the prize for Name That Animal Tune, we'll offer a pair of tickets to see Zap Mama and Auntie Ballas at the Straz Center tomorrow night. In fact, it's our opening animal tune. We're hearing Auntie Ballas right now. This is sort of a musical onomatopoeia, well, to me at least, called Elephant Now on Talking Animals. This is Antibalas with Elephant, a nice loping animal song to get us launched this morning. Afraid we're unable to hear the whole song. It's 14 minutes long. And again, we will offer tickets to see Antibalas and Zap Mama tomorrow night at the Straz later in today's show. Let's move now, though, into our conversation with Black Vegan Metal Chef, with a reminder that we invite you to join the conversation by calling 813-239-9663, emailing us at dj@wmnf.org, or texting 813-433-0885. Let's welcome Vegan Black Metal Chef back to Talking Animals. Good morning, Vegan Black Metal Chef.
Greetings, Talking Animals. This is the Vegan Black Metal Chef.
I like it. So, how was your morning thus far, Vegan Black Metal Chef?
It's been quite good. Showering and getting ready to go to work.
Okay. Well, I'm glad you made time to join us once again on Talking Animals. So, before we get caught up in sort of what's going on these days in the Vegan Black Metal Chef world, let's review where things were when we last spoke on this show in 2011. So your first YouTube cooking video, Lisa's Vegan Black Metal Chef, I believe that we even talked about then. There were some others before that, but this one taught how to make pad thai. Huge immediate success, racked up 2 million hits and counting, which in turn generated tremendous media interest, Washington Post, Nightline, and so on. So in the wake of that, there seem to be all kinds of possibilities and opportunities looming, including one or more TV cooking shows. So talk a little bit about what's happened since we did speak about at that time about those things, and let's get caught up, in other words.
Yeah, absolutely. Quite a bit has happened, I guess. I've been a guest on several TV cooking shows, including Anthony Bourdain's No Reservations, The Bitchin' Kitchen, and Eat and Eats on the Food Network. I've traveled around the country and the world doing live cooking demonstrations, vegan cooking demonstrations, of course, in full gear and soundtrack included.
Well, we would expect no less. You got to get the full Vegan Black Metal Chef treatment, right?
Of course. We had an awesome Australian cooking demo tour, even toured all over Sydney, Melbourne, and Brisbane in Australia. That was a great time. We had the Vegan Vacations at Sea Vegan Cruise, which is happening again in this next October, which I'll be on again. The last one was to the Caribbean. This next one's going to be to Alaska.
Sorry to interrupt there, Vegan Black Metal Chef, but tell me how that works, because we're familiar now with cruises that have different kinds of bands on them, and in some cases different kinds of comedians and other sort of specialty cruises. But what happens on a vegan cruise? I mean, obviously vegan food, but I mean, I'm sure there must be other elements to the cruise as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, basically, cruises are sometimes a little bit tough to have the vegan accommodations. And so basically all of the sit-down meals in the Vegan Vacations at Sea are all vegan, have an all-vegan menu, appetizers, mains, and desserts. We all hang out as a vegan crew to go on various excursions and just hang out and have fun in general. And then typically every day out at sea, there is some kind of cooking demonstration by one or several presenters. The last one was an amazingly fun time. If I had to spend another month any place, it would be the U.S. Virgin Islands. St. Thomas and St. John were absolutely amazing.
Okay, yeah, I was just about to ask kind of what the itinerary was for the cruise, but it sounds like that at least were highlights.
Yeah. Those were amazing. This next one's to Alaska, and I have little idea of what to expect except the kind of breathtaking pictures that I've seen.
Yeah, seems to be gorgeous. So, that's really cool. This sounds interesting. Now, what about? I mean, it's great that you've appeared on these various cooking TV shows, and of course the live demos and the cruise. But I know one of the things we talked about back then was that there was at least one, and maybe more than one, cooking TV sort of cooking show opportunity for you. Where does that stand, or what sort of became of those situations?
Some of the initial ones kind of fizzled out just because it wasn't necessarily a win-win situation. And in the future, after I finish up 20 regular episodes of the Vegan Black Metal Chef and finish up the cookbook, which I'm working on and finishing up this year, then I kind of plan to do a TV pilot and pitch something a bit more substantial to the Food Network and Cooking Channel or whoever, whatever TV show might be, TV channel might be receptive. But it's sort of a bit of a marathon and sort of a sprint. And so kind of keep on keeping on and enjoying life as it goes.
Sure.
And the current format of things, I've licensed out bits of episodes to other TV shows around the world, but in its current format, it's not exactly, it would need some more elements to fill out more of like a half hour time slot or something.
Yeah. Cause one of the things I wondered about, cause I did sort of track, I want to say it was, I don't know if it was MTV. There seemed like there was somebody that had expressed interest back when we spoke before. And when you say not a win-win, I don't know if this is part of it, but one of the things I wondered about is if, to what extent the very things that us fans of Vegan Black Metal Chef love about you and your videos and your work, the makeup, the body armor, the black metal, the humor, et cetera. I mean, in some ways, does that work against translating to a full TV show? In other words, were some of the people that you were meeting with saying, well, we like the what you do, we love, of course, the response it's getting online, but we're not quite sure if that's a half hour ongoing TV show?
Well, I mean, there was some aspects of sort of idea differences, but I think really the vision for everything just wasn't as sort of mature as it is now. And if it doesn't excite me in every way, then it's not worth doing it just to do it. I mean,
sure.
Yeah, I can do what I'm currently doing and retain the rights to them, and as opposed to kind of selling things for nothing and hope for big distribution possibility, not even guarantee, but possibility.
This is Talking Animals. If you just tuned in, we're speaking with Vegan Black Metal Chef, whose cooking videos and other work have made him an internet sensation and now a live traveling sensation and a cruise sensation. If you'd like to join the conversation, ask a Vegan Black Metal Chef a question or offer a comment, please call 813-239-9663, email dj@wmnf.org, or text 813-433-0885. And in fact, we already have caller who, hi, you're on Talking Animals with Vegan Black Metal Chef. Hello, it's you. Hello.
Hello.
Hello, it's you. You're on the air with Vegan Black Metal Chef.
Yeah. I didn't realize that was going to be the subject of today's program, so I really don't have a question.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, maybe next time. Thanks for calling.
Right.
Vegan Black Metal Chef, so let's find out about something that you mentioned that I was going to ask about anyway. Where do things stand with the cookbook?
So the cookbook is kind of roaring along. I've been in talks with some other publishers actually this last week, and we'll see what comes out of that. But regardless, it's being made at the moment. It's probably more than halfway done, and it's going to have a ton of photography. There's actually going to be photos of every step of along the way of each and every recipe and cooking concept in there, and of course it's going to have the awesome black metal layout that everyone kind of comes to expect. And it's basically, as someone that's seen it so far put it, it's sort of like my videos made into books. So, and there'll be far more cooking concepts and recipes than what I can do in the videos in the cookbook, because the videos take so long to make. I really only make a very small portion of what I'm doing in the cookbook. Now, however, I am making a set of videos, a video for each thing in the cookbook, which is currently going on another private channel of mine that you can access through a website called Patreon.
Yeah, I was going to ask about that. Well, since we're there, let's jump in, because yeah, I think that's new, interesting, and is a campaign that's sort of akin to a lot of public broadcasting and other entities, including here WMNF, that has a circle of friends whereby people automatically pay us or send in a certain amount of money to support whatever entity that they're in favor of. So without getting into the exact dollar amounts, maybe explain how your program works.
Yeah, basically, they can contribute really pretty much anything that they want. And they get access to this private channel, which I've been updating about weekly so far, and it's only been out for about 3 weeks, so there's three recipe videos up there now. And basically, it's kind of faster format videos than what I can do with the full production, Vegan Black Metal Chef stuff that goes up on YouTube, that I want to keep highly, highly entertaining and highly shareable and kind of over the top. But all that stuff takes a really long time, also especially with the original music that goes into all the numbered episodes. So I still use the backing tracks from other episodes in these faster format videos, but it's a little bit more just kind of intimate, kind of to the point cooking instruction, not as much flash or flare or fire or effects or anything like that. But it's for people that either have come to a cooking show or just want more recipes and or have tried other ones and really like them and just want more. It allows them to support this project as well as get a whole lot more for quite low cost.
So in other words, these three recipe videos, for example, that you put up, people who are part of this Patreon program, they have access to that, but otherwise people who wouldn't find those on your regular website or online elsewhere. Do
exactly
I have this correct? Yeah,
exactly correct. And at the current moment, I'm basically showing all of the cookbook testing that I'm doing on this Patreon channel. I'm still making the regular Vegan Black Metal Chef episodes and vlogs with that, but and kind of carving out more time in my life, and things change by the month.
So as part of the idea of the Patreon campaign is to underwrite more of what you're doing and therefore hopefully free up more of your time to devote to
exactly.
Various Vegan Black Metal Chef efforts and enterprises.
Exactly.
All right, I think we do have, I think we might have another caller. Hi, you're on Talking Animals with Vegan Black Metal Chef.
Ooh, sorry, wrong number.
Wow. Okay. Well, that's
this is
that's
awesome.
That's the beauty of live radio. So let me, because one thing that you mentioned a couple times, and I know we talked about this when we spoke before, but for people who maybe didn't hear that conversation, if you wouldn't mind, kind of walk us through what is involved in making the full blown Vegan Black Metal Chef like YouTube videos that most of us know you for, because it's way more elaborate, I think, than a lot of folks who haven't seen or heard that explanation would imagine.
Yeah, absolutely. For those of you out there that are not familiar with the Vegan Black Metal Chef cooking show in general, basically it's a cooking show, but there's no talking in it, and I write my own soundtrack to the episodes, and the lyrics to the songs are the recipes and what's going on. And it's in a dungeon-like kitchen with myself fully clad out in face paint and armor in the black metal style, if you Google that. And so basically, it takes at least a day or so to film an episode, and then it takes another week and a half to edit that down, to get a lot of the major edits down. And then the main part that takes up quite a bit of time is I make all original music for each episode, and I create, mix, master, and do everything for all of the instruments. So that usually takes at least a couple weeks to fully realize. Then there's some final editing and finishing touches, and of course recording the vocals over top of everything, and then however many weeks later, it's tough to put a timestamp on it, because sometimes creativity just flows and then sometimes it doesn't. It takes more time, and so you can't sort of squeeze creativity out of a tube, and in the end, I usually have something that I'm pretty happy with, then it gets released on the Vegan Black Metal Chef channel. And there's also some amount of product reviews and other sort of vlog episodes that I do up there that don't necessarily contain new music, but I recycle music from other episodes to do those a little bit faster ones.
The music, whether it's new in that particular episode or recycled from
it's
a previous episode.
It's all created by me, regardless.
Right. It was yours to begin with, the original music for at the beginning.
Correct.
Right. So how many episodes then have again, it sounds very labor intensive and painstaking. So how many episodes of that kind have you now made?
18 numbered episodes, two special editions, which also have new music as well. Those were basically advertisements for other companies. Breville had me do an advertisement for their juicers. So it is basically a regular Vegan Black Metal Chef episode, but just using their stuff and some others like Vegan Cuts as well.
Right.
So 18 regular numbered episodes, two special editions, and a handful of various blogging product if you got this.
Yeah, well, I'm going to come back to that in a sec, too. But so, if I'm not mistaken, I think number 18 was Pastageddon?
Correct.
Yeah. So, it sounds like, from what you mentioned earlier in the conversation, that, 20 is sort of, in some ways, the magic number.
Yeah, in essence. Basically, my first DVD set was the first 10 episodes. So, the second DVD set, and also the first album, after 10 episodes, I released all of the songs without the vocals as just backing tracks as an album. I release all the songs with the vocals on my website for free that you can just download. You take the vegan message with you, you get it for free. But and I'll sell the album for $5 and the DVD for $10 typically.
Mm-hmm.
And so that would sort of complete the second season of the Vegan Black Metal Chef. Would be 20 episodes, and then I'll see how I can kind of grow and change things for the third season.
But it also sounded like, if I followed your earlier explanation, that in some ways hitting the 20 might also be pivotal in terms of making some sort of moves, like towards, again, revisiting the idea of a TV show and some
exactly,
other things.
Exactly. That's one of the aspects that might change and grow for the third season is some aspect of a TV pilot. And other things like that.
Yeah.
So yeah, 20 is kind of my next milestone to see where things go from there, and I kind of anticipate having the cookbook done by the 20th episode as well.
Oh, cool! I was going to ask you: is there a publication date that you're aiming for with the cookbook?
Either late this year or early next year.
Okay, good. So it's imminent then. That's okay. Great. Yeah. And then, can you talk a little bit about the doable veganism vlog series?
Yeah, absolutely. So that's kind of what Vegan Black Metal Chef, the project in general, I really try to focus on. Because I've been vegan now for about 14 or so years, and I think my food tastes delicious, it's not that difficult to make, and it's really cheap. So three things that people think veganism isn't, but when I kind of realized this, I said, well, the world needs to know. And so the doable veganism stuff will focus on the vlogs in the show. We'll focus on especially sort of accidentally vegan food that you can purchase at the grocery store, things that aren't not even specialty products. These are things that you find in normal grocery stores. For example, like Pillsbury Crescent, the original Crescent rolls just happened to be vegan, and same thing with the original pizza crust. So little things you can do with that really make the vegan lifestyle that much easier and that much more sort of integrated into what you already do. And give you some kind of new meal ideas to go along with that.
One of the things too that I like about that is, as you say, it's a sort of accidental, or just emphasizing the simplicity of creating vegan dishes. But also, a thing you mentioned earlier that a lot of people I think have the sort of wrong impression about is people say, well, yeah, I could do that, but it's so expensive. And you're sort of what in your whole premises overall is that that's really not the case. And especially in the doable veganism series, the thing I really like is that you actually break down the cost for each vlog, each meal that you're talking about.
Yeah, absolutely. And the funny thing is that especially in the doable vegan stuff, that's even the more expensive side of the cost things, because that's using some amount of convenience food and convenience ingredients. So even those are cheap. And so I plan on eventually breaking down the cost for everything I do in all the episodes, and you'll realize just how cheap it is. Now, of course, if all you do is go out and buy vegan ice creams, vegan specialty snacks, and a lot of things that basically just kind of aren't food, then yeah, it vegan ice cream costs more than Walmart giant tub of government subsidized ice cream, and so on and so forth with some other things. Although actually the cost of meat and everything is going significantly higher, but in general, cooking vegan is incredibly cheap, and you can even buy some amount of convenience things, and especially if you watch the sales, especially in Florida where we have even Publix grocery stores that have the buy one get one freeze. Things taste really good when they're half price. So it's definitely a big focus of of what I do is showing sort of just how cheap veganism could be.
Right. And but another thing, too, that sort of relates to something you just mentioned, it's an important sort of philosophical tenet of the vegan black metal chef world is that rather than, for example, buying vegan ice cream or buying made or processed even vegan food, your whole point is, hey, the fresher, sort of the most fundamental ingredients that then you put together in a way, A, that's not expensive to buy, and B, is going to be healthier probably than some of those things that are still vegan, but that you are buying sort of off the shelf.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I mean, I've got nothing against processed foods and this and that to an extent, but it's when people rely on them for each and everything that they do. And really, you should be constantly challenging yourself, say, well, what else can I expand into my eating world? Like, what else can I make to really be eating a large variety of food and not get stuck in that rut of I'm eating the same thing over and over and over again with anyone?
And that's the thing, you're providing suggestions, alternatives to answer that very question. So again, I'm Duncan Strauss. My guest is Vegan Black Metal Chef. We're talking about cooking videos, cookbooks, all kinds of things that are part of the Vegan Black Metal Chef Enterprise. Here's, if you'd like to get in on the conversation, we just have a few more minutes probably with Vegan Black Metal Chef, but you're welcome to jump into that conversation by calling 813-239-9663, email dj@wmnf.org, or text 813-433-0885. And in fact, one of our emailers says, I think Jamie Oliver started out as the quote-unquote naked chef and became very successful. How does Vegan Black Metal Chef plan to downplay the KISS quote-unquote look and sound for food TV and become as successful?
Well, I don't plan to downplay anything. Actually, I plan to upplay everything. my idea for a cooking show involves kind of over-the-top special effects, music videos with other musical vegan guests, things of that nature. I mean, I want to cut things with lasers shooting out of my eyes. I mean, breathe fire on stuff. So, yeah, there's going to be no dumbing down. It's only going to be a dumbing up.
And with that in mind, Vegan Black Metal Chef, is sort of your vision then for the show sounds like ambitious and just sort of a step up or two from the highly stylized productions of the videos. Mm-hmm. But I guess sort of maybe hooking into what I believe maybe the emailer's question was, is what is your concern, if any, about how segmented that audience would be versus something that would reach, still be a Vegan Black Metal Chef, but would reach maybe a broader audience? Or is that's...
Yeah, well, it kind of goes contrary to everything I said. If something is for everyone, then it's for no one.
Yeah.
So, I mean, either the world wants an awesome, specialized sort of niche thing. I mean, Metalocalypse, the cartoon, exists. And it might not even be, this might not even be something for the Food Network. Like someone else,
yeah,
might expand into the cooking show realm. But to me, if it's not everything that the base of my fans and what I am is, then it's kind of nothing.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, and two, it's funny, I was thinking about outlets and different things about where you may or may not be heading with your own TV show. And I think, gosh, now with so much stuff streaming, you know, Netflix, Amazon, Hulu, that there might be a home for a Vegan Black Metal Chef show on one of those outlets.
Well, the whole world, as choice has increased, that was one kind of great aspect and great drawback of sort of the 80s and 90s that I grew up in, was that media and their choices were largely controlled by a handful of outlets. And so that's how, in one sense, certain bands that came out during those eras were sort of able to sort of take over the entire world very quickly and because things were kind of everything that you heard was sort of a chosen largely by a pantheon of people that chose what everyone heard. And so that's one of the great things about now, is that there's so much more choice and so much more ability for people to really find what connects with them and connects with their specific style or niche of living, that that the world is more is a more fragmented place in that sense, but far better because people are seeing what they actually want to see.
Yeah, the whole gatekeeper model has dissolved, and now there's any number of places to go. Whereas you're suggesting back in that day, it was a very limited number of paths, and if the gatekeeper didn't let you in, that was it.
Exactly.
So let's, before we forget, mention that the website is veganblackmetalchef.com. And of course, then there's links to, you know, the YouTube channel and Facebook and other stuff. But let's take a call here. Hi, you're on Talking Animals with Vegan Black Metal Chef.
Hey, thanks for having the chef on. Hey, how you doing, Chefy?
Doing fantastic.
I ran across a video. I wonder if you saw it. It was on YouTube of this Portuguese. I think he's a 4-year-old boy, and his mother puts some octopus in front of him. He goes, "What's this? It's octopus." And he goes, "Well, if you've seen the video, you love it." He goes, "Well, aren't we supposed to take care of the animals, not eat them? Have you seen that video? It'll bring you to tears."
Yeah. Quite familiar with it. It's a fantastic video. Kind of the kid sort of, like, as he's about to eat this pile of octopus, potatoes, and rice, sort of questions what he's eating. And saying, "Well, isn't this an animal?" And mother said, "Yes." And kid, so I'm sort of paraphrasing here. I don't remember exactly, but... And then the kid goes, "Well, I like animals." And he starts naming different animals that he likes and says, "Like, I don't want to eat the animal." And the mother starts crying and says, "Okay, just eat the potatoes and rice." Like,
That was a beautiful
one. Quite an awesome video.
One last comment. You know, people are realizing that everything around us is just energy. And the energy that's coming from these poor corporate farms, these animals that are being, you know, pretty much tortured, that is, if you ingest that, you eat that stuff, that becomes part of you. I don't think people understand that. Thanks for being vegan, Chef. Peace.
Absolutely true. Thanks so much.
Yeah, thanks for a call. All right, so we're just in the home stretch, but one sort of cliche running joke in the vegan world, of course, is the question, what do you eat? Related to that, I noticed when you a lot of times post on Facebook about really good vegan food or meals you've eaten, especially when you're traveling or otherwise, you know, is there anything in particular that recently that either on your travels or even locally there? And because we should mention, by the way, we haven't so far, that Vegan Black Metal Chef is actually based in Orlando, just down the road a piece. So,
correct, and actually I'm from Tampa originally.
That's right. We talked about that before. That's absolutely right. Part of the music scene then. Anything either, again, locally or just on your travels that you particularly were just knocked out by that you want to mention as we sort of hit our final moment or two here?
Yeah, there's actually a couple awesome, many awesome places in Ebuth or Orlando and Tampa. I recently had Taco Bus not that long ago.
Yeah.
Out in Tampa. And that was awesome. I had no idea that they had so many specifically vegan options. I thought that was really cool. The Tampa Loving Hut is also really good.
Yeah.
And in Orlando, there's just so much, like, between Ethos and Veggie Garden and many places with specifically vegan options like Taco China and other things like that. There's really a ton, and it's growing every year. I would say maybe around the world. In Australia, there was a couple amazing vegan places. Actually, there's a whole lot. There's a handmade vegan dumpling that now, of course, the name will elude me, but I had two amazing vegan dim sum places in Australia. I had no idea that the Australian national food is basically the pot pie. They just call them pies over there, but there's tons of vegan pie places. They get very confused when they come over here and they order a pumpkin pie. And they get a sweet dessert like thing as opposed to sort of a pumpkin stew pot pie, and so that was all really cool. Australia was surprisingly vegan friendly, possibly even more so per capita than the United States.
Wow, very interesting. And lastly, sort of along those lines of Vegan Black Metal Chef, what either vegan chefs or vegan cookbooks do you particularly like or are fans of?
Well, kind of funny thing in that I don't really watch too many cooking shows,
mm-hmm.
And I don't really read too many cookbooks.
Okay.
I don't really like that. But I mean, but my good friends, the vegan zombie people, another YouTube channel, Issa Moskowitz and Terry Romero with the Post Punk Kitchen,
mm-hmm.
Stuff. Yoko Shinner is doing an incredible job making amazing vegan cheeses and things. And so several others out there that I really enjoy that doing lots of great work.
Cool. All right. Well, we've been speaking with Vegan Black Metal Chef. Again, the website is veganblackmetalchef.com, and you can keep an eye out for his videos on YouTube. But you can go to that website if you're interested in becoming part of the campaign, where you get the exclusive content and information. And I guess we should mention, too, as part of that, since we're just talking about this in a different context, that part of that Patreon thing is that you often talk about foods or restaurants or things in your travels that, again, that you thought highly of or wanted to recommend to people. And there's other news and information beyond just exclusive cooking videos.
Correct.
Yeah.
Correct.
All right, Vegan Black Metal Chef, thanks once again for making the time to join us on Talking Animals, and keep us posted on the cookbook. And we'll hopefully when that's out, we'll chat again.
All right. Thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
Thank you. In a moment, we'll have a brief chat with vegan bodybuilder Robert Cheek about a book signing and lecture he'll be doing in Tampa this Sunday. Right now, let's step into the Talking Animals Comedy Corner. Given that coincidentally I have not one but two guests today discussing vegan matters, I thought we'd hear this piece, a very short bit called Mushrooms Vegan by Shane Moss on today's Comedy Corner on Talking Animals.
I have a friend who's a vegan, which is fine enough for him, but he's always trying to push his vegan propaganda on me. He'll be like, hey, Shane, you should try this tofu. It tastes just like chicken. I try it, I'm like, oh, wow. You forgot what chicken tastes like. In fact, everything tastes like chicken except for this.
That was Shane Moss with a piece called Mushrooms Vegan, taken from his album entitled Jokes to Make My Parents Proud. Right now, to discuss the book signing and lecture he'll be doing in Tampa this Sunday, let's welcome Robert Cheek to Talking Animals. Good morning, Robert.
Hey, good morning, Duncan. Thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
Absolutely. Thanks. Thanks for joining us. So, before addressing this Sunday's event, let's first find out. I guess a fundamental question at this point is: how long have you been a vegan bodybuilder?
I became vegan 20 years ago as a 15-year-old kid, and I grew up in an agriculture community. But at age of 15, growing up on a farm, decided to become vegan. I was a 5-sport athlete back then, and about 5 years later, decided I would pursue bodybuilding as the sport that I would go after. And that's what I did. Started picking up weights, and years later started winning bodybuilding competitions and eventually wrote books about it.
And Robert, when you said, hey, I play all these different sports, but I'm going to focus my attention on that, was it just coincidental, or was it sort of your focus to do some myth busting, in the sense that I think a lot of people hold a sort of a stereotypical view of vegan as sort of the pale, frail person? And obviously, you know, a vegan bodybuilder is pretty much turns that stereotype right on its head. Was that part of your thinking when you went into it, or that's just sort of a byproduct?
You know, that was actually definitely a driving force, and it happened to also be a byproduct too, because when I became vegan, I was 120 pounds. I was a skinny, long distance runner, and really lifting weights was not something that was supposed to work out for me. It wasn't really in the cards for me based on my genetics or my build or my experience at that point. It's just something that I really wanted. I just really wanted to pursue getting bigger and stronger. And so when I did, and eventually put on 75 pounds, got up to about 200 pounds over the years, it certainly showed that one could do that on a vegan diet. And of course, I became vegan when the internet was just becoming born. And so I didn't really have a lot of people to look to as resources. So I figured I would have to kind of carve this out myself and figure things out. And so it was just a process, a journey, and I did want to so that you could do it. And I learned a lot along the way.
So then when did writing books enter the story?
Well, as a kid, I always wanted to be a writer. When I was just a little kid, 8, 9 years old, I was writing books. And so when I finally had won a couple of bodybuilding competitions as a vegan and been runner-up a bunch of times and and kind of really was able to compete at a higher level and really be legitimate and just be really considered someone who did achieve muscle growth and did achieve athletic success on a completely vegan diet and lifestyle, I decided, you know what, I've been competing for years. It takes a toll on the body. It's mentally challenging, physically challenging. I'm going to take a little break and write about it. And I wrote about 100 pages in 4 days right after I stopped competing. The next 4 days, I just shared my experiences. And so I released a book called Vegan Bodybuilding and Fitness in 2010 and toured for the last 5 years with that book, and then decided it was time to update my thoughts and ideas, and I released a new one called Shred It in November, just a couple months ago. And so now I'm out traveling around, and here I am in Florida.
Yeah. Tell us a little bit about Shred It. I mean, how does it contrast from the previous book?
You know, they're actually dramatically different. In the first, really, 10 years of my vegan bodybuilding career, I was eating a lot of processed foods, using lots of supplements. I was following traditional bodybuilding programs. And something really switched back in 2011. I started working with the film Forks Over Knives and hanging out with Dr. Campbell and Dr. Esselstyn. And I really decided to try this whole food approach. You know, put down vegan pizza and sandwiches for a little bit and just try eating fruits, vegetables, nuts, grains, seeds, legumes. Just, I mean, still delicious and intricate and creative meals, but just using primarily whole foods. And I decided I would try to be supplement-free, aside from vitamin B12, for the last couple of years, too. So for the last couple of years, I've just been focusing on whole foods and deliberate athletic training with specific programs in mind to get the best return on investment, both nutritionally and physically. So that's what this book is really about. It's about burning fat, building muscle on a whole food plant-based diet. It has 75 recipes, where my first book only had 3 recipes in it. It has meal plans. It has case studies, transformation stories, which my first book didn't have, and it features 35 other successful plant-based athletes, vegan athletes, which my first book was really just focused on me and my journey to achievement in vegan bodybuilding and sharing all those stories along the way and how I was able to do it. So this new book is absolutely targeted toward men, women, anyone who wants to burn fat, build muscle, have more energy, and do it in a really healthy and compassionate way.
And Robert, just again, for the reasons I sort of mentioned before about the stereotype that people hold, for folks listening, I think they might be interested. Maybe you could name, like, I don't know, 3 or 4 of those athletes, those vegan athletes that are included in the book, just where people might say, oh, wow, I didn't know that, or I wouldn't have guessed that person was a vegan athlete.
Sure. Well, there's some of the athletes that are featured in there. 5-time bodybuilding champion Tori Washington, 3-time bodybuilding champion Derek Treesize, Giacomo Marchese, who's the founder of the Plant Built Vegan Muscle Team. The book's also endorsed by Phil Collins from Def Leppard, and Emily Deschanel and Kathy Freston, who's friends with Oprah, and all these other people who are friends of the athlete movement. Fitness model, champion fitness model Chad Byers is in the book. Fitness model Mindy Collette. Thomas Tadlock, who was considered one of the top 5 trainers in the United States. I mean, the list goes on and on and on. And there's numerous chefs and best-selling authors. Attila Hildmann, who sold about 1 million copies of his vegan book in Germany. He contributed recipes to the book. So lots of collaboration with athletes and chefs and authors. Which makes this book really, really much more comprehensive.
Well, yeah, when you're veering from athletes, authors to Def Leppard and back, you're covering some considerable ground. So that's great. So tell us, we just have about a minute or so left, Robert. So tell us about the book signing and lecture and stuff going on this Sunday.
Sure, Sunday, 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. at Northdale Park, and that's in, I guess, Hillsborough County. I'm not real familiar with it, but Northdale Park. We're going to do a group workout outside, which is just a total body exercises. I just did one here in Orlando. Everybody loved it. Lots of push-ups and jumps and squats and lunges and group exercises and team exercises and fun stuff you can do anywhere, anytime. So I teach people a lot of fundamentals they can do, even if they don't have access to a gym on a regular basis. And then I'll be giving a lecture. I tour all over the world, just came back from Australia and Canada. I'll be giving a 1-hour lecture about my new book, Shred It, which is all about burning fat, building muscle on a whole food, plant-based diet. Fun, engaging, people enjoy it, get a lot out of it. And of course, I'll be signing books afterwards. Hope to see people there Sunday, 11 a.m.
Yeah, and if I'm not mistaken, so it's book signing, it's lecture, and then, as I understand it, just for people who might say, because you started talking about the workout first, for people who say, hey, Sunday, I'd be interested to hear what Robert has to say or check out his book or whatever, but I'm not necessarily going to work out. I mean, of course, people could presumably at least come to hear the lecture, maybe get the book signed, whatever, but not necessarily work out if for some reason or another they're not inclined.
Absolutely. They can come for the lecture, we'll do the workout afterwards. And even if they just want to watch the workout and see what kind of exercise is this guy doing out in the park with no equipment, it's still going to be really exhausting and taxing on the body. They can absolutely watch for a little bit and take off anytime. But the lecture is available first, and I really hope people come out for it. It'll be really enlightening and engaging and a lot of fun.
Okay, one last thing, Robert. Is there a either Facebook page or some other information online where somebody who's hearing this, maybe driving around, can't write stuff down, could find out the details by later going to a particular Facebook page or a meetup page or something?
Yeah, absolutely. They can go to my Robert Cheek Facebook page. There's C-H-E-E-K-E. Robert Cheek on Facebook. It's listed. It's promoted. I have event pages. And they can also look for it on meetup.com. It's on listed on meetup.com. I would just use, again, my name as a keyword search or look under that day for Tampa workout Robert Cheek. However those search functions work, they should be able to find it.
Okay, and again, just because I think your cell may have dropped out, it's Robert, C-H-E-E-E-K-E, Cheek with an E added on. So if people are searching,
yep,
they know
exactly
how to spell it. So, okay, well, Robert, good luck, and thanks for making the time to join us on Talking Animals, and hope it's going to be a great turnout on Sunday, and good luck with the book.
Thanks, Duncan. Really appreciate it for the opportunity.
All right, thank you. I'm Duncan Strauss. As a reminder for Name That Animal Tune, I'll be offering a pair of tickets to see Zap Mama and Auntie Ballas at the Strauss Center tomorrow night. If you're lucky enough to win, you would need to pick up the tickets here at the station since the show is tomorrow night. We obviously can't mail them out to you. But we'll get to that in a moment here on Talk. And I'll just quickly do a couple of animal news and announcements. So one thing happening tonight, in fact, the auspices of St. Francis Society Animal Rescue, they're going to be at Hamburger Mary's in Ybor City doing a drag queen bingo to benefit them, the St. Francis Society Animal Society. So that gets underway at 6:30, goes till 9:30. The bingo starts at 7:30. You can check that out tonight at Hamburger's Mary in Tampa. Ybor. Saw this the other day. Greyhound racing, as you know, may be going to the dogs. That is, if Florida Representative Jared Moskowitz has his way. Quote, no one is coming to watch the dogs run. I've been there. I've seen it, he told the Contact 5 investigators. Now a series of answers he recently received from the State Division of Paramutual Wagering is giving the third-year lawmaker more reason to push his proposal to end what he describes as an outdated state law. Goes on to describe, as we've talked about a number of times on Talking Animals, the way that betting on other events is hooked, connected to greyhound racing and the gambling thereof, and seems Representative Moskowitz intent on pushing to disconnect those things. Good for him. And lastly here, coming up on the horizon, the Humane Society of Pinellas announces its Spring Pet Fest. That's going to be Saturday, April 11th from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. at Carolina Business Park in St. Pete. But in the meantime, they are seeking vendors and sponsors for the events, and they'll have all kinds of things, big adoption events and test drives with pet-friendly best pet drives, test drives, entertainment, and more. So you can go to humanesocietyofpinellas.org/springpetfest to find out more about that. I think that's all we have time for today. And I'm Duncan Strauss. You are listening to Talking Animals, where the show website is talkinganimals.net. It's time to proceed to Name That Animal Tune. This is a giveaway, but please only participate if you haven't won something from WMNF in the last 90 days. And there will be a prize. Take us to Zap Mama and Auntie Ballas at the Strauss Center tomorrow, though again, you would need to pick up the tickets here to go to the show. So the first person who calls 813-239-9663 and correctly identifies this animal song. It's Name That Animal Tune on Talking Animals. We'll take probably whatever guest comes in off the air, because we have just about reached the end of today's edition of Talking Animals on WMNF Tampa. I'll be back next Wednesday, January 28th, when my guest will be Jennifer Chatfield, who monitors animal safety on film sets. I hope you'll join me for that next Wednesday. I also hope you'll visit our website, talkinganimals.net, where we make available all sorts of information, as well as archives and podcasts of past Talking Animals programs. We've got them all for all 12 years there, believe it or not. We also have a link to the Talking Animals Facebook page, our Twitter feed, and more. Please like us on Facebook, the show, and or me personally, and follow us on Twitter. You can also subscribe to our email newsletter to find out about our guests a couple of days beforehand, sneak preview as it were, and other news from the Talking Animals world. That's all found at TalkingAnimals.net, where at the moment you can also, of course, find out all sorts of information about our amazing exclusive thank you gifts for supporting Talking Animals in the forthcoming winter membership drive, which starts 2 weeks from today. So get a jump on things, get a jump on donating, supporting Talking Animals, and dubbing up in the process by going to talkinganimals.net. We'll catch you next Wednesday at 10 a.m. Again, our new time is 10 a.m. And this is WMNF Tampa, Largo, Weeki Wachee, and beyond. Thanks so much for listening.